Two fat expats, here we go again. My, drinking all the gin again. Two fat expats, here we go again. Why bother putting any tonic in?
Straight from the bottle.
Some of them now you could have them straight from the bottle. They're really yummy. There's some good gin.
Like and the flavoured vodkas and things, you could take a little bit of a sip from the bottle.
Actually, I have a girlfriend who has a blog called The Gin Queen.
And it's I follow her.
Yeah, she's fantastic, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Yes. I'm Kirsty.
I'm Sarah, and we are the two fat expats.
Because we believe in living a fat expat life. To the P, to the H, to the A, to the T.
And because we are slightly fat. We're working on it.
I'm getting fatter. Yeah. Okay, Sarah. So today we're going to be talking about the re-entry blues.
Sounds a little bit rude.
Yes. Or the lack of re-entry blues, because you and I feel very different about this.
Yes.
So, as you were saying, now when you come back to Doha, what happens? So you've gone home for your holidays, you've had a fantastic time with family.
Yep, so this past trip I was home for 5 weeks. So I did my first stint of summer here in Doha, and then I went home for the last half of the summer for 5 weeks. And I look forward to coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I get sad to say goodbye, you know, don't get me wrong. I hate leaving all my friends and family, but I don't know, I just walk out of the airport. I do get that hit of the feral heat.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
But then I'm just back into the swing of things.
I think it used to be worse too when we would get back and land on the tarmac.
And you had to climb up and get on that bloody bus. And that
would be
foul.
Because it would be August, late August. Yeah. It'd be 50
degrees. Really hot.
And it's like a haze of heat. If you haven't lived in this sort of heat before, it's like there's this haze.
Yeah, you can actually see the heat.
Yes.
And it is like, for anyone that hasn't been here, it is honestly like opening up the oven door
and shoving
your head in it.
It really is.
Sylvia Platt style.
Yes. So what do you think it is that makes it easier for you when you get back now?
I think the last couple of years we've come back right before school starts. So we come back sort of 5 or 6 days before Sadie goes back to school. So that last week is racing around to try and find the last pair of school shoes in the shop, getting the new pencil case, the new lunchbox.
So you've got a job to do,
I don't do any of that stuff when I'm home, which I always regret when I come back because I'm literally after the last pair of school shoes in Doha every single year. But at least I have a purpose.
Yes.
And I think the other thing is last year Matt came home with us and we all came back together, but this year Matt didn't come home at all.
Yeah.
So then I was itching to get back to him.
Yes.
And I was so looking forward to seeing him. I was excited to see him. And so...
And your family, to be a family again.
So we just slot back into our everyday life. And I think maybe what's different between you and I is you've lived in quite a few different countries where...
Yeah.
Doha, I mean, we've been here coming up to 7 years now. So this is where Sadie's had all of her firsts.
Yeah.
It's the first tooth's fallen out. It's the only school she's ever been to. It's all of her friends that she's had since starting school. So it really is that our whole life has happened here.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And so it's just coming back and slotting back into life.
And you've just made me realise too that, you know, when you say about firsts and things like that with kids – we don't have, like, the height chart thing here, but we have it back at the beach house.
Right, see, our height chart, is here.
Yes, and I think that's a whole emotional thing, isn't it, of I have very much set up a home in Australia that has, you know, I was saying to you before that, you know, it has my bed that I consider my bed and my dining room table.
Home to your home.
Yes.
I go home to my parents' home.
Yeah, and it's different.
And that's a big difference, you know. Our home in Melbourne I don't really even think about because we don't even go to Melbourne.
Yes.
We always go to Sydney. So I don't have that driving. Yeah. You know, maybe if we were from Melbourne and our house was still rented out, I would have that pang of, oh, there's our house but someone else is living in it. I don't get any of that because my home is here.
I think the other thing that can happen too, because I think with me, I'm very happy with our life here, But yeah, it is that I have a home somewhere else that mm-hmm. I pine for, mm-hmm. and it's a very comfortable, as in, you know, it's not that it's this huge, massive house at all. It's, you know, my kids all share that one room in our house at the beach, but it is that it feels like home.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing that can happen with the re-entry blues is if you're happy where you are, because I'm happy with life back here. My issues when I come back here is just finding my groove again and having to readjust.
And the logistics of it all, because everything is different here.
Yeah, we've been back for less than 24 hours. I was following Greg to somewhere and I watched him nearly get wiped out right in front of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And it is a daily thing here. I don't think people quite understand. You have to drive so aggressively here. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be an accident nearby or you're nearly in an accident.
When I say every day when I get in the car, I say to myself, I hope today's not the day that I'm not over-exaggerating. I honestly get in the car and I say, I hope today's not the day that I get completely wiped out.
Yeah.
Because the driving is bonkers. That's probably the one thing that would get me down.
Yeah. And mine is that all the houses look exactly the same.
Yeah.
That it's 50 shades of beige.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it really is. Like, you know, in Australia you would hop in the car, and I am very aware of how precious I sound at the moment because I have chosen this life. So, but I'm just having a little whinge today and I promise I won't whinge again tomorrow. But it's that whole, you hop in the car and you might just go for a Sunday drive. And like we would go for a drive.
You can't do that here.
You don't really do that here because you'll just drive out to the desert and it will all look exactly the same. And all the houses here are the same colour and they're all rectangular or square.
But do you know what my glass is half full answer to that is?
Tell me.
You don't get house envy.
No, you don't. You don't.
Because everyone's renting here.
You don't get any envy from the West Bay Wendy's. You're not ever thinking, oh, I could be on that lagoon.
No, because they don't own that house.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
It's probably being paid for by the company.
Yeah, well, it
is. No, I don't. No, whereas back home, if I was the one that was in the 2-bedroom fibro, or my girlfriend down the road's in the big 4-bedroom mansion.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, why don't I have that?
Yeah. So that's why I think of things when I come back here.
We're all just doing the same thing. Yeah, no, that's very true. That's very true. Now, I think the thing I was going to say before too is that if you're not happy in your location, the re-entry blues can be an absolute killer.
Absolutely. And I think a few years ago when we first moved to Doha, and I've said this before, I hated the place. It was so different to Abu Dhabi, even though it was literally across the road.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't get closer than Abu Dhabi in Doha, really. It's an up and down plane, right?
Yeah.
But it was so different and I hated it, and I hated myself for those first couple. I was miserable when I look back on it. I couldn't really see it all when I was in it.
Yeah.
When I was miserable.
Yeah.
And I hated coming back, and I would be bawling on the getting back on the plane to come. I was just miserable, but I've slapped myself out of that now, and I'm like, right, got to make the most of it. You've got to love life. You've got to, do things to make you happy.
You really do have to put yourself in the right headspace, don't
you? Yeah, you do. You do. Now, otherwise, and you need to surround yourself with people in the right headspace as well. And we've spoken about this before. Mm. Do not make friends with people that hate living in the same town as you.
Because they will eventually
bring you down.
Now, I spoke to Michelle, who's an Australian in the Middle East. She didn't want to say exactly where she is. But I think it's safe to say she's in one of the more conservative Middle Eastern countries.
Right.
And I got quite interested in Michelle because on our Facebook page, when people – I had asked about re-entry blues and Michelle had said she really – often finds she has to lock herself away for a little while.
Right.
And she said for her it is that because she's living in quite a conservative country and the rules are different for women.
Yeah.
So I thought
I think this is a country you and I would probably get kicked out of.
Possibly. So I began with Michelle by asking her how often she gets home.
Definitely once a year, but I've been trying to get home twice a year because I've got little kids and it's really important for me for my family to see them grow. So, yeah, I like to get back twice a year.
You mentioned that you do find it quite hard to settle back in, and you're living in one of the more sort of conservative Middle Eastern countries. Do you think that that's why it's a little bit harder to settle in?
Yes, absolutely. So I can't drive where I am, so that's a major restriction on us here. So day to day we're confined on our compound, We walk everywhere. So just not having that freedom to get out, to do things on your own, which when you go back home, you get back into the swing of it. So coming back, it's just, it's really difficult. And I think the longer now I'm staying, the harder I'm finding it each time I come back now, getting used to not having those freedoms again.
And do you find that you have to sort of lock yourself away for a little while till you get your head straight, or do you find, no, I've just got to plough straight into it and I'm just going to be miserable for a little while, but I know I'm going to come out of it?
I think it depends on where I've been. I've done both. I've locked myself away for a week, just settled back in, haven't really seen anybody. And then other times I've come back and I've needed that, the girls' support here. We're all in the same situation, so sometimes it's really great to get back out into the community here and have the girls around, and they pep you up and we laugh, and yeah, it makes it a bit better, a bit easier to get through.
Now, I imagine you're living on a compound.
Yes, we are, yeah.
And so perhaps could you explain to people, what does compound life look like to you? Like, although you're in the Middle East, do you have greenery? Do you have, what sort of entertainment do you have? What sort of life do your kids live on the compound?
So our compound is quite green compared to what's outside the walls. There's trees and we've got a bit of grass. Each villa has a little bit of grass. On our entertainment, we've got a couple of pools, a very basic outdoor playground, a gym, and a bowling alley. So we don't have a lot of facilities here. So it's really up to the families to make fun, and we do that as best as we can. The kids, I think, have a great life. You know, they're running around through the streets, which a lot of kids can't do these days. So you go outside after school and there's just packs of little kids running around having fun, so that's really good. The pool is the place to be during summer, except for when it's really hot, then we tend to stay indoors a bit. But yeah, I think on day-to-day life, it's fairly good here on the compound.
Do you think, because I often think with my kids, because they do live a very 1950s life, you know, you get to say, just come home when the lights come on, you know, they go from house to house, they ride their bikes in the street, all of that stuff that I had, that they probably don't do so much in Australia. Like, I'm a little bit more safety conscious about where and where they are. But I find like my kids might have the ideal life on the compound, but perhaps I don't have the ideal life on the compound. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, definitely. My girls are still very little, so they don't really know much outside the house. And if we were in Australia, we'd probably spend the same amount of time inside as we do at the moment. But yeah, the kids here definitely have a great life. They all love it. They're always smiling and happy and always got playmates around. So yeah, like you say, in Australia, they wouldn't quite have the freedom that they have here. So yeah, the kids seem really happy here. And the parents, yeah, we suffer a fair bit.
So tell me then, I'm imagining that where you live is a dry country as well, as in no alcohol. What does your life look like? How do you get to the shops and home, and if you can't drive?
So yeah, definitely a dry country here, sadly. and also of the pig variety as well. So we live without those luxuries. So I have to rely on my husband for everything, which is horrible for both of us sometimes.
Yes.
So once a week we go to do the food shop. Sometimes that's not fun, so we might shop for 2-3 weeks just so we don't have to go out and do that. I've kind of given up kind of shopping locally, so I do a lot of online shopping now. That saves a few arguments of having to be driven around looking for different things.
Wow, I hadn't considered that. That must have been life-changing for people where you are, because, you know, I have many friends that have lived in sort of very restricted lives in Middle East countries, and I know one of the things that friends used to talk about, and this was, you know, 10 years ago, was that they'd have to catch the bus in to do the grocery shopping, and you had to put your name on a list to get on the bus. And, you know, if you didn't get your name on the list and you didn't get on the bus, it was the most miserable thing in the world, you know, because you just felt incredibly stuck and incredibly restricted. But how much can you do online now in your world?
I get by with pretty much everything except food. So I haven't been able to find a facility to buy the food online, but everything else, either I bring it back from Australia with me or I buy it online and get it sent in. So we're always on the hunt for good websites that have free delivery, because I think that's a huge cost that I never expected coming here, was you know, having to buy things and paying that extra postage.
How long do you think you can cope living how you're living?
Well, that's a good question. Some days I can answer several different ways. I think we've got a few more years in us. Right. I would love to go home now. Some days I'm packing my bags. But no, I think just for the reasons that we're here, I've still got a few years in us. As I said, my girls are really little, so I mean it's perfect now because there's no pressure for me to work whatsoever. So I can be home with them and there's none of those extra pressures that I would have in Australia. So we may as well use that opportunity and then, yeah, we'll be hopefully heading home in a couple of years.
And is there a chance for you to work where you are?
No. My visa clearly states not permitted to work.
So what are you doing in your time? Because I know you've got young children, so you'd be flat out with them. But is there any plan in the back of your mind of, well, I'm going to use this time to get myself set up to do something else? Have you got another little business venture that you do or anything that you're kind of planning?
Yeah, a friend and I, who lives on the Compound, we've just started our own little blog. Purely for our own research and enjoyment. I mean, we travel a fair bit and we do have little kids. And we used to talk a fair bit about our travels and things. We've realised that we have just so many people around us doing the same thing with lots of information. So we thought, let's write it down just for ourselves. And if anybody else out there can use it and find it helpful, then that's an added bonus. So that's a little thing that we're doing at the moment. And I also like to try and do online study when I can. So, yeah, when I get back, I don't feel like I've been out of the workplace too long that I won't have anything to offer when I get back to Australia.
So what would your advice be now that you've had 3 years of going back and forth and you do have those moments of misery on return? What would your advice be to others out there that are feeling that same way?
I think don't beat yourself up about it. Don't force yourself to be happy if you're not feeling happy. Go through the motions. Surround yourself with friends or things or hobbies that will make you happy when you come home, I guess.
Michelle, I felt a bit bad for you there at the start. Didn't know if you were going to make it through. But she sounded a lot happy when she started talking about her blog. You could actually feel her voice.
Yes.
Pep up a little bit more.
Yeah, that she had something going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to say something happened while we were listening to Michelle.
Yeah. We didn't switch the microphone on.
We realised we didn't have the microphone on. So if you're thinking that the first...
That I sound like I'm going,
I'm over here. So, yeah, we're sorry about that. We've had... but that won't happen again.
Technical difficulties this morning, but it's because we're getting our re-entry
we
on
are,
for the blog.
We are.
I mean, what do? A podcast.
A podcast. So there's things that happen every time we start this podcast. I open up the application.
I've got one job to do technical-wise, and that is to tell you to put the female voice on.
Yes, because the choices are male, female, or something else.
Yeah,
and
but
so
my next job, I'm going to say, is the mic on.
Is the microphone on,
yeah,
Kirsty?
Yeah.
Is that helps? Yes. Okay, so back to Michelle.
Yeah, I can understand. I have a fair idea which country she's living in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had friends that have lived in, I think, the country she's mm-hmm. living in and have said that it was the best out of all of the Middle Eastern countries mm-hmm. to live in. I think it is definitely, for her there, it's the compound you're living in. And I think, wow, to have a bowling alley in your compound, mm. that's pretty cool.
Mm.
And I think
probably, if you like bowling.
Yes, true. But also I think the big thing for Michelle is surrounding herself with the right type of people.
Yes.
And I think obviously this lady that she's working with on the blog
yes,
might
yeah.
be a good...
And the online study is fantastic.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
If you can come home and say, oh, but I got this and this done.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I can understand how hard it is not be able to get in the car and drive and,
it
and
would
go
send
to...
Me spare.
Yeah,
I... Yeah. Do you know, when I went to go and redo my licence the other day, one of the interesting things pops up that happens here is, and I had forgotten about it, is
yeah.
I said, I need a new licence. I was standing there. I had my passport and whatever, but I had my husband standing next to me. And she said, you'll need a letter from your husband and
yes.
you'll have to sign this. And I remembered, because I've been driving around here for 5 years and I'd almost forgotten that I had my husband's mm-hmm. permission to
yes.
drive.
Yep.
But now, it all came back to me. Oh,
yeah.
That's right. Greg
yeah.
has to give me permission yes. to drive. And there
when
is
when I got my first job here,
oh.
Matt had to write it, have a letter written allowing me to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I just, it could drive you bonkers, but yes. That's just when we giggle.
Yeah. But see, we're in a different thing. So that is, we can giggle about it because, yes, we do get to drive and, yes, we do get to work.
I get
work.
To have a job, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I guess Michelle is, no, you don't get to work and, no, you're never going to get to drive mm-hmm. because we're not going to let you.
Yep, because you're a woman.
Yeah. Mm. And that I would really, really struggle with that too. Yeah. And I think I could get past it like she has. And like mm-hmm. she said, they've obviously found the good things. They get to travel. They mm-hmm. get to...
She gets to stay at home with her little girls while they're still young.
Saving money. They don't have financial pressure. Mm-hmm. But, yes, you'd have that little thing every time you went, oh, we need milk. Oh, we need whatever. Yeah.
The friend who I think is living in the same country as Michelle lived on a big community compound. And her husband used to get the bus to and from work.
Yeah.
So his car was actually in their home.
Uh-huh.
And she would actually drive to the compound shops.
Ooh.
But, and the security guards would say, oh, ma'am, you're not allowed to drive. I'm just going up to get milk. And she would defy them. And
Yes,
she was.
Yes.
And she was in her late 40s, early 50s.
Good for her.
And she defied them and she did it. She never went outside the walls.
Yes.
But, every now and then she thought, stuff it. I'm driving up and I'm going to get my milk.
There was one other person that I wanted to speak to this week.
Yes.
Now, you had spoken to Lisa.
Yeah, we were chatting on the Two Fat Expats Facebook page.
Yep.
And she's had a really interesting life in that she's lived in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's lived in France, has she not? Mm-hmm. And now she's in Turkey.
And she's German. Yes.
And she used to get the re-entry blues, didn't she?
She still is getting
them. Oh, she still gets them. Okay.
Now, did you find out what Lisa did for a living?
No, I know she has a blog, but I don't know what she does for a living.
Okay, well, I'm not going to ruin it right now. I'm going to let everyone have a listen to it.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you at the end what she does for a living.
Ooh.
I started off by sort of asking her where she is now.
Okay.
Well, right now I'm in Germany, which is where I come from. And I'm visiting my family right now. And if I'm heading home, it means that I'm going back to my life in Istanbul, Turkey.
Wow. And what took you to Istanbul and how long have you been there?
I got there like 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago, because my boyfriend is from there. He's Turkish. And a little over 2 years ago, we met in New York. And, we met 3 years ago. And then 2 years ago, we moved together to Istanbul. And my job is kind of not, I can work from anywhere. So I just thought that why not go with him? So I did it.
So how long have you been away from Germany for?
I left Germany just after high school, and I was just 18, 19.
So how long ago was that?
So that was like 8 years ago now.
Right. So you've been on the move for 8 years.
Yes, pretty much.
And how often do you get back to Germany?
Right now, I'm going back and forth quite a lot because I just like to see my family. When I left right after school, I was not so, I just wanted to get away and I didn't really look back. So I didn't see them for a long time. And then recently, I started going back a lot just because, I feel like seeing my parents a lot more. So right now it would be like 3-4 times a year.
And then how do you feel when you get back to Istanbul, which, by the way, is one of the prettiest places on the planet? But how do you feel now when you have to go back to settling back into Istanbul?
It changed. Like in the beginning, when I just moved there and I was in Germany and then I went back, I was really having a hard time adjusting back, into the life there. It was not easy. I was, because the life there is very different to my life previously in New York and other places. So Turkey was really very different to anything I'd experienced.
Yes, I can imagine.
So that was I kind of had a culture shock, I think, after a while. So it was not so easy going back. I was dreading it. was not that easy. And now, after a while, I made myself a home there, and I feel more settled, and I got my work, and I got my routines. And so I try to just get as quickly as I can into my routine, and then I'm back into my life.
And is there a sadness when you get back to Istanbul? Are you missing your parents and missing Germany?
Yeah, actually, that's pretty much how I, you know, that's how I how I am right now. I'm like, I call myself an expert in homesickness because I've been feeling like that for a long time, that, you know, I have multiple homes all over the world, and it's kind of hard to go back and forth, and you're always like saying goodbye to someone. If it's not your parents, it's your boyfriend. If it's not him, it's your friends. So it's, yeah, you just have to find a way to get back into whatever routine you have in the place that you're going to.
Tell me, Lisa, you know, now that you've been away from Germany for 8 years and you've done what sounds like some fantastic travel and obviously met amazing people, but when you say you've become an expert in homesickness, is there ever a feeling of, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done this to myself? I really have made life very difficult emotionally. Do you ever feel like that, or is it the opposite?
No, it's the opposite. I don't regret anything. I don't regret my decision of leaving home or pursuing the career that I wanted, which implies that you have to travel and that you are on the move. I don't regret anything about that.
Is it the culture shock that you've found difficult from being in New York with your boyfriend to being in Istanbul? Is that more sort of like a women's issue of there's a different cultural stance for you as a woman, or is it a religious thing? What is it that feels so different for you in Turkey than it did in New York?
Well, New York was, I didn't feel the same. I had issues there too. We felt both like foreigners. We were both foreigners there, which is, you know, now that we're in Istanbul, I am the foreigner, he's not, he's a local, so that's different. And the everyday things get easier because at least one person knows what he's doing. But overall, throughout the years, I feel very European, because I've felt the same feelings in New York too. Like, I was not ready to settle there because I feel very different. Like, the culture is very different, lifestyle of the people is very different. When I get back to Europe, whatever country, Italy or whatever, I feel a lot closer. I can understand the people a lot better, how they think. And Turkey is really very different in all those things, as a woman as well. Yes, definitely. When we met, we had no idea where we're going, and right now we feel pretty much the same. So that's just pretty much our life. We never know where we're going next, when we are going. Like, nothing is decided.
So have you resigned yourself to this is going to be a permanent thing, that you're always going to be returning back to Germany and then going
pretty much
back somewhere else? Yes. And that there's always going to be those few days of melancholy before you settle back in?
Yes, yes. And I managed to find a way, you know, to get back as quickly as I can into my work routine, which helps me to, you know, settle back into my life, because that's what helps me to just get to work as quickly as I can and just do the things that I have to do, like run errands. The day before I get back into my expat life, I plan the day like really through and through, so I have a lot of things to do, so I don't get stuck and get really sad or depressed. So I don't even have time for that. I plan the day, you know, through and through, so I'm set.
what does she do for a living?
Oh, my
Because
gosh.
She talked about her job a lot. Is she CIA or something?
She's an opera singer.
Really?
Uh-huh. I was like, I think you're the most exciting person I've spoken wow. to this week. I know.
So she
is an opera singer.
She can go really anywhere and join the local company.
And that is the killer, is that I said to her, when you were training to be an opera singer, do you think you realised, like when you were younger and you thought, right, I'm going to be an opera singer, did you realise that that's what this meant, that you would never be able to? And she said, no, of course not. And I said, wow. Do you think your parents realised? And she said, no, I don't think so. And it really made me think that, you know, there she was. I imagine her parents must be incredibly proud of her.
Yeah.
Travelling around the world yeah. being an opera singer.
Yeah.
And she does. She's a fully
and she
employed
works in
opera
Istanbul?
Singer. All,
yep.
all over the world. That's
wow.
what she does. Yeah, she has set herself up for this life. And, you know, that phrase she used about being an expert in homesickness,
yeah.
it really got me thinking. And I don't know if you saw, I put something on the 4 Kids 20 Suitcases Facebook page on the weekend, because she made me realise that that's what we all are.
Absolutely.
That we have all become experts in
yep.
homesickness. That,
and it can hit you sometimes when you least expect it as well, that pang of homesickness, don't you think?
It, yeah, it's a smell, it's a yeah, memory, it's yeah. a, gee, that person looks like my auntie
yes.
Margaret. Do you know,
yeah,
like
yeah,
that any,
yeah.
it can happen at any time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right.
And I think when she and her partner were living in New York together, it was them against the world because they were both expats living in a foreign country. Now they're on different playing levels because she's still the expat and he's in his hometown.
Uh-huh.
And I would have loved to, I wonder if she's close with his family. Does she have, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
is there, that might make it easier if you had his family there that you could feel a part of.
Yeah.
Or whether, you know, are they as close as
yes.
what they could be? And I think also living in Turkey, she's very close to Germany. She said she goes back, you know, quite a few times a year.
Yeah.
That, I mean, there's nothing closer than living in Europe and coming from Europe, even
yes.
if you know that you're like, oh, I can pop
yes.
across this weekend. We don't have that.
No.
We can't pop across to Australia for a weekend just because we're
yeah.
feeling homesick.
Yeah.
But yeah, and her accent didn't sound German at all.
No. You could tell there was just a little bit of everything.
Yeah, she's got that expat accent.
She has. She's
yes.
got a little bit of American in there, a
yep.
little bit of English.
Yeah.
And then she apologised to me at the end about, oh, I'm sorry about my English. And
oh.
I was like, oh my gosh.
It was superb. Again,
yeah.
my hat's off to anyone that speaks more than one language.
And she is, of course, beautiful. And
yeah. she sounds beautiful.
Yeah, she is beautiful. If anyone's interested, she has a blog called Miss X Pattern,
mm-hmm.
and we'll put the link on our
yes,
webpage,
absolutely.
Our Fat Expats webpage as well. And Michelle, who's living in the other Middle
the
Eastern country we can't talk about, she also, her blog is called Frequent Little Travellers.
So we'll put the link
yeah,
in
Yeah, so
as
we'll
well.
Put the link to that as well.
But I think Lisa had a really great tip in that before she gets back to Turkey, she has something planned.
Yes.
And I think that is key.
Yeah.
If you know, if you're that type of person that gets a bit down every time you come back to your second
yeah.
home, plan things.
Yeah.
You know, meet up, plan to have a coffee with your girlfriends, plan to take the kids somewhere,
yeah.
sign up for a course, do something and have it all set before you get back so you've got something to look forward to.
Yeah, yeah. So I had written a post, I reckon it was this time last year, about
mm-hmm.
10 tips for re-entry blues.
Yep.
And I'd completely forgotten that I'd written it until we did this and I said to you, I reckon I've written something. Anyway, I found it and one of the things that I have to remind myself is about being grateful. Because
yep.
while I'm sitting here whinging about, oh, you know, they didn't know how to do the eye thing at Sephora,
yeah.
You know, there's people that are sort of paddling their way across from Syria trying to
yeah.
find a new home.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all need to remember to be very grateful that
yeah.
we're here. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're an expat in Qatar, it means you're an expat with a job because you
yes,
can't come here
can't
without
come,
a job.
Yep.
Being grateful is one. I think... exercising as much. One. Yeah, I think when I first got back here, and that was the thing that peeved me last year, is I came back here and went, right, okay, I'm going to go down and go for a swim at the pool. And I got to the pool and the man said, the pool's closed because we put too many chemicals in and we burnt all the people.
Oh,
and people had got into the water and literally their skin was burning.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but yes, find some exercise, see more of the people you like, which is what you said, Sarah.
Yeah, like, and yeah. Plan those meetups before you even get back.
Yeah. Make a date with people that you know are going to be happy.
Yes.
If you think, oh, I'm going to meet up with her and she's going to say, God, I can't believe we're back here. I hate this place. You know,
don't meet up with her.
Don't meet up with her. Only meet up with her when you're really, really happy and you can handle her.
Yes.
I find decluttering. I'm about to go all through my wardrobe and do a complete declutter.
Yep.
Donate and do something good.
Mm-hmm.
And start thinking about your next holiday.
Yeah, that's a good one. Get yourself excited because I think, and I don't know what it's like for expats living in Asia or anywhere else, but I think sometimes living in the Middle East, we do get caught up in this Middle Eastern bubble.
Yes.
And it is that you've got to get out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we always do that. We plan our next
trip.
I mean, I've got our next bloody 20 holidays
planned. Yeah.
I've always...
Yeah,
you know,
got something in mind.
Yeah, and that's always exciting and it's fun.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember my other tip was to explore your own city.
Yes.
Like get back and then say, you know, I haven't been to that Iraqi restaurant in the souk for ages.
Yep.
So do something in your own city that reminds you that life is actually pretty good in your own city.
Absolutely. See, for me, it's Souk Waqif.
Yes.
I love that place. And there's no, even in the
me
other
too.
Middle Eastern cities, we don't. There's no Souk Waqif.
Yeah.
And that will be one of the things I miss the most when we leave. So I always make sure I get a trip into it because it just reminds me, this is where I get to live.
Yes.
And I've said before, I love the call to prayer. Scared the absolute bejesus out of me the first time I heard it. But now I love it because it reminds me where we are. So it's little things like that that sort of keep me going.
Yeah, and learn something new. Like Michelle said, she does a bit of online study.
Yeah.
I think if you can remember that you're actually – making the most of your expat time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't find yourself 3 years down the track going, well, what did I actually do there apart from drink coffee with friends, go shopping and bitch and moan about the place?
Yeah.
If you come out and you go, well, in 3 years I managed to get half a degree done.
Absolutely.
And I made some great friends and I volunteered and helped out and felt good about myself.
I joined such and such committee.
Yeah.
I helped plan an event, all of that type of stuff.
I've got friends that have learnt how to swim while they've been here become proper swimming training kind of swimmers.
Yeah.
I've had people that have become professional trainers. I've had people that have learnt how to kickbox. I mean, you don't have to be finding a cure for cancer.
No. Although that'd be good if you could.
It'd be handy, thanks. If you could, I would really appreciate that.
Yeah, throw yourself into something new because you've already got to be an adventurous type person to become an expat.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You've already, it's in there. It's somewhere to think, we're going to pack up our family and we're going to move to a whole nother country. You've got it in you because not everyone can do what we do.
Mm.
So throw yourself into something new.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think that would be a great topic 1 week to ask people, what have you taught yourself while you've been gone? I'd love to hear what some people have done. And I think that might be quite inspiring for other people to hear about some good stuff. Okay, we'll put that one in the list. So it says you've included a couple of articles as well.
Yeah, this is from the Expat Arrivals website, and they had two articles about how to get yourself, it's called the readjustment. And so they've got some really great tips and basically stuff that we've been talking about today. Throw yourself in, you know, find great people to surround yourself with, you know, join, do a hobby, take up a hobby, that type of thing. So I'll put those links into the show notes. For anyone that's feeling a little bit down and out.
Sounds good. And your social media picks this week.
Right. I love American politics.
Yes.
I love it. And so at the moment, the Democrats are trying to work out who they want to lead the party. The Republicans are finding out. Now, a few years ago, it was all Sarah Palin. She was almost the character of all of the elections.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's Donald Trump.
Oh.
Now, Let me start off by saying if he is nominated to run the Republican Party, it will be incredibly scary, more so if he becomes the next president.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, he is hilarious to watch. He is a character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is married to an immigrant, Melania Trump.
Yes.
And while I've been following all of this, I noticed you don't see Melania at anything.
No.
And she used to have a very social she was this beauty queen. She's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her own line of something or other, and she was always on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram posting photos of herself in her bikini and this is where we're going on holidays. She has disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yes.
Now, the New York Times have done a really great opinion piece on this as to why.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just because she's shy?
No, because we know that's not true.
If you put bikini shots of yourself, you're a shy person.
She's not shy.
Because Donald actually takes his daughter Ivanka to all of the events. He is, she is the first lady thing.
Yes.
Melania is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
And they're saying, is it because he's running for the Republican nomination and the Republicans tend to be very much of a traditional family sense and she's not your traditional Republican wife?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she's actually an immigrant herself and he has stood up there and said, you know, stop all of these people coming into our country, we don't want you.
Yes.
When he's married one.
Yes.
It is fascinating.
Yeah. And so I would also think Melania Trump versus Michelle Obama, there is no.
Yeah.
There's no comparison. Yeah. Whereas
his daughter in her own right, Ivanka, she's extremely successful. Well. She's educated. And I'm not saying that Melania is dumb by any means, but it's just very when normally you have your wife standing next to you and you know you almost vote for the family. Do you know Michelle was so you know part of Barack's campaign.
I don't think he really wants to be president anyway because
you
I think
it's just all for show.
I think it's all for self-promotion because I think he would have to he wouldn't earn half as much money and he would have to put his business interests elsewhere and I just don't see what he would get out of being the president.
Conspiracy theory, Hillary has made him run.
Oh,
I've just come up with that. So Hillary wins.
Yeah.
She's hired Donald. Yeah.
Don.
Yeah, Don.
Don, I've got a job for you.
Donnie, got a job for you. I'll put the link to it's a really interesting piece from the New York Times that I'll put in the show notes for you if you're interested.
That's great.
Now the other TV show, now like it is with Game of Thrones and Sons of Anarchy, I'd jump onto these bandwagons after, you know.
Yeah, they're
like
gone.
After they're done.
The horses are actually resting now and they're at the stables.
Yeah, yeah. It's done and dusted and then I jump on the horse. Yeah. So this is a TV show called The Killing. It's from the States. And it's set in Seattle, so it's really dark and moody and there's lots of rain. You almost feel like you need to fiddle with your brightness button on your TV. Yeah. You know when it's really dark?
Who stars in The Killing?
Now, it's Muriel, I can't remember her surname. No one is of any fame.
Yeah.
But a teenage girl is murdered and turns up in the boot or the trunk of a local politician's car.
Yes.
The twists and turns in the first series, you will not pick it.
Right.
You will not pick it. It is so good.
I've watched the original Danish
version. Yes, it's based on a Dutch.
But I haven't watched the American one.
Right.
Yes.
It's very, very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Brilliant. But you're right, so dark.
Yeah, like you have to watch it with your curtains wide open and the sun shining in, otherwise you can't see them.
Yeah.
And I think they've done 4 or 5 seasons now, but I've just finished watching season one. It's really, really good.
And you heard the Serial news?
Yes, they're making it into a TV show, but it's not about the story of Adnan. It's about how they made the podcast.
Oh, that I would love that.
Yes. But I think when I first started seeing it come up on my Facebook feed, I thought, they're going to make a TV show about Adnan. But no, it's about Sarah, the host of the podcast, and about Ira, our boyfriend Ira from This American Life.
Ira Glass.
And how they create the podcast.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I would definitely want to watch that. Okay. Well, I don't have much to offer this week in social media picks. The only thing I had seen online, I follow a site called Bored Panda. Do you ever see that?
I don't know that one.
I love Bored Panda and it has the most ridiculous things on it every now and again. But they had hot dogs as Disney princesses. And it it really took my fancy because they've managed to do like Belle, who's yellow, she's got a lot of mustard happening. And, you know, and Ariel had a piece of lettuce as her green sort of fish. It's very cute. Bit of sauce for the hair around the hot dog. One of those things
you need to see just to unwind and switch off. Yes. Right,
so
okay.
I will put that link up there as well. So that, I think, is us this
yes,
week.
Yes, that's us.
So we'll be back again next week.
Yes.
Now, we had to ask people again because we stopped asking.
If you could head on over to iTunes and rate yes. us or give us a review, that would be greatly appreciated. I think we're in the hot hits or something
yeah,
on iTunes.
We're on the what's hot
yeah,
or
what's
something.
Hot because we are so hot. With like a totes H. hot. So fat and hot.
Sadly, we are fat and hot because it's bloody hot here.
So head on over to iTunes and give us a rating and a review.
We would love that. Very,
come and say
much.
Hi on the Facebook page.
Yes.
And I'll be asking a question later today about our next episode. We haven't decided. We've got about 30 episode ideas. We've just got to work out which one we want to do next. So I'll pop on the Facebook page and ask for anyone that's had any experience with whatever we decide to do.
Well, should we do next week on what have you learned? Like, what have you picked? What's kept you busy on your expat
that's a good one.
Thing? Yep. So, you know, your expat. So maybe, if you want to hop on and tell us, maybe you've got a full-time job but you do something else to keep yourself busy, or maybe your full-time job came as part of your expat life. You found it and you changed careers.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you've had a massive career change while you've been here. Maybe you're studying something you always dreamt of studying. Maybe you've learnt how to play Mahjong.
It doesn't have to be super, super cool, but just tell us what you've learned on your trails and what you've done. I'd love to sort of hear more about that.
Okay, well, that's our next episode.
So that'll be our next episode. And Sarah will put a note up today and I'll put a note over on the 4Kids20Suitcases page. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Okay, bye.